Yeah, we had to switch out of this morning, but it was good too.
So, here she comes.
I got a nap in the middle, so this is kind of
Oh,
like a new
very
day for me.
good. Hi, Mary. Yeah,
Oh, lucky you.
didn't get a nap, but that's okay. Maybe I don't need one today. I don't know.
Well, we just over the last 3 days we've had 30 something inches of snow, so it's so I've been spending my days outside shoveling, so.
Yeah, so we had snow too, but it was interesting. They announced like 60 centimeters, but we only got, I don't know, 20, 25. So
Okay, you did better than we did.
We've
it's
only
still
got
coming
20 or
down.
25 so far.
Yeah,
It's like
true.
moving your way.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was a doozy down here. I mean, even this morning I was snowing. I'm like, why is it still snowing? But yeah, and I have a hard time getting it out of my driveway because my road is already a one lane narrow road. And when there's like a 3 foot wall of snow on either side, it just makes it
Yeah,
less of a
different.
place to be able to get around. So
Yeah.
yeah, so it's interesting right now. But
Was it actually a record amount for the area?
I don't think so. We've had snowstorms this big before. It's just been a couple of years at least since we've had one. So it's been, I recall shoveling like this in the past.
Yeah,
So
I kind of heard about it, but I haven't been in touch with any of my. I have cousins still on Long Island, and my aunt is still in my old neighborhood. So I talk to them almost every week or two, and I just all I, yeah, I heard about it through the grapevine. But meanwhile, here we've had like 60 degree weather, and it's
that's
been
what I heard.
the skies. It's been beautiful. It's almost felt a little bit like spring.
More appropriate for Breege's Day, so yeah, which was what, February 1st? So yeah. More like the Celtic spring, so that's more appropriate. Not what we've got, but I guess it's still winter, so
Very much.
very much so, right?
Anyway, I moved my car yesterday so I wouldn't have to shovel. So,
Oh, that's good. Very good planning. So.
okay. Well, we're here to talk about marketing.
Word.
The M word that you don't like. That's right.
I mean, if you've read that post, then I don't think I need to really say much. I just let you guys talk, and I'm thinking about it from a slightly different angle, which is that I'm thinking about like more personally, what can I do on a regular basis? Like, I feel like I'm starting a new chapter, and I get to kind of rewrite things. So, what can I commit to doing and follow through with that makes a contribution, to the overall without overextending myself and with just balancing the different kinds of activity that I think would be necessary to make something like this work. Like, it's not enough just to write. It's not enough just to do reading groups. It's not enough just to publish. Like, somehow they all have to work together in order to build a community that reads, and that like tells their friends about it, and like it becomes more of a more of a larger participation phenomena. So I'm interested in thinking about marketing philosophically. I think that maybe if we can think about it at another level, we could sort of do the same thing, but more in alignment with the aesthetic values that I think metempsychosis represents. But I don't know exactly how to do that, so I want to defer to all you and to the collective genius, which I'm sure wants to suffuse the field. And that's all I have to say.
So I kind of wanted to say that I certainly resonate a little bit with your email on marketing. The problem is that I don't know very much about marketing, so it's a bit of a mystery. I know that I was supposed to do marketing with my fashion business, and I obviously did a dismal job of it because I never got anywhere, any kind of traction with it. So I sort of have one failure in my past. which makes me a little bit reticent about marketing. But I was thinking about it too. I'm not really interested. I'm not trying to build a revenue stream. I already have a pension. I'm trying to build a readership for my books, right? So that I think aligns with what we're trying to do with metapsychosis and infant conversations. Although I think it's not incompatible with generating a revenue stream either. I don't think, you know, it should be excluded. In fact, I certainly feel that I need not to shortchange myself. That is to say, you know, if there's some revenue that comes in, that's par for the course, as it were, even if it's not my primary goal. So, because I was looking at these marketing books last few days, and it's like they say, well, if you want to make a living as a writer, you have to do this, this, and this, and this, and this. It's like, yeah, but that's not quite really what I want to do. But on the other hand, increasing sales and getting it into the right categories for search criteria and all the rest of it, yeah, that still goes with building a readership. So, so I'm a little bit fuzzy on where the sales bit blurs into the building readership bit and how one deals with those kinds of things.
Well, I can tell you, I had a conversation last night, not related to this per se, but it's not. It wasn't about metapsychosis. It was about my website, my Chthonia site. I had a conversation with somebody from Score, and I don't know if you're familiar, because I mean, I'm not sure you have something like Score in Canada. Maybe you do, but it's basically an organization that helps people who have small businesses do things. It's for free. I mean, they have mentor programs where they help you develop business plans, where they help you develop marketing plans, where they help you develop all these different stuff. They've been around for a very long time. They give classes and so forth. And right now they do a lot of virtual help, obviously, because of COVID. And I had a guy talk to me last night because I wanted him to look at what I had and said, you know, because what you're saying, Jeffrey, I have a lot of very much the same problems. It's like, okay, you know, you put yourself out there, you're doing what you think is quote unquote marketing, and you get no feedback, you get no results, you don't get, you know, or you get people who like, you know, who like say surface, they like it, like say are on Instagram and they'll click something and they'll say, oh, I like this. But nobody ever does anything about it. It doesn't translate into anybody going to your page or buying a product or doing something like that. And what this guy told me was, he says, part of the problem with a lot of doing things like that, and it kind of goes back to the idea of community, is that he says, you really have to target, you have to figure out who your audience is. And first of all, what is it that you're offering? That's number one. Like, what are you actually trying to sell? I mean, you know, because obviously, yes, there's the whole, the dynamic of the co-op and so on and so forth. But what is it that, you know, for example, if we're selling books, like, is that what we're doing? Is that what we're, you know, are we selling books? Are we selling, you know, what exactly is for sale? And how do you connect people with that or get them interested in that? And he says, and that means you have to kind of find the targeted group that's interested in what you're doing, which I don't think is that hard in this case, because metapsychosis already has a pretty big readership and mailing list. So I don't think, it's not like you have to go, somebody like me who has to build a mailing list from scratch, really. So, you know, you already know you have people who are interested. So then it's a matter of saying, like, having them take that next step to say, hey, this is what we're offering and this is how much it costs, you know, would you like to join it? So I don't know. I after that conversation with him, I think, you know, we're probably not in a very bad position here. And I know, like, Marco, you're saying, yeah, I don't want this to be a kind of thing that interferes with my life. And, you know, I'm totally with you, by the way, because that's exactly the problem. What you expressed in that message is kind of the problem that I have. It's just like, yeah, I feel almost like, I know marketing is like a necessity in this kind of a thing, but at the same time, I feel like there's an inauthenticity to it. I'm like, I don't want to push myself on people. I don't want to thrust my product in their face and say, this is why you should buy this or buy this product over another one. It's like, you buy what you want. It's your life, you know? And that's kind of, and I've been told that's not really the way to go about it, but I'm like, well, I'm sorry. I'm not going to sell a person who doesn't have money and doesn't want it, you know, make them buy something, you know? So I kind of have that. I understand totally that kind of wariness of marketing. It's kind of, you'd like to see something a little bit more organic, but I think, oh, there's Eduardo. Hello, Eduardo. hello.
Hello.
How are you?
A little late, but here.
That's good.
Yeah. We're just talking about marketing. So I wrote something, and then Jeffrey made a comment, and Bridget. So you'll get to kind of pick up where we're going with this.
I read your text, and I totally agree. Yeah, it makes me sick too. But we have to sell those books.
Sorry, Bridget, you weren't done. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I just sort of finishing up. It was just sort of like, I feel like we already have a community, which is good. So, I mean, you know, I think that helps. And I know that there might be people interested even outside of Metapsychosis, you know, or maybe who aren't currently a part of Metapsychosis or Cosmos or anything, who might be able to be drawn in. So it might be a matter of those two different things, sort of like targeting where it is you want to go, targeting who it is you want to say, hey, you know, you want to come in here and take part in this, whether it be subscribing, whether it be, you know, buying the books, whether it be, you know, whatever it is that we're working on selling, to target the people who we know have an interest. And I think we've already got a leg up on that.
Yeah. I don't want this to become out of control and become the main thing we do. I do think we do need some basics. Like in our last meeting, I'd love to come out of this meeting with like a list of the absolute, at least the minimum stuff that we need to get done. So someone mentioned that we need to make a landing page, like a page for the book that has an excerpt, a blurb, a picture of the cover, and then a link to buy it. And then like everything, anytime we mention it ever, we have like a link to that page. Like that's, I think that falls under marketing, but it's also just like the minimum that we have to do to get this book into people's hands who want it. So yeah, and I think if we just focus on a few things like that, we'll probably find that we've made a good start.
Yeah, that's a good point. And actually, probably it's easy enough to make a kind of a landing page, even if we don't make it public right now. You know what I mean? Like, even if something's just put together, it's in the background. And then when we have a content to fill it, then it's just like, oh, okay, we'll plug this in and then we'll make it live. We've also been talking about the newsletter, because that was, I think, another topic for today, if I'm not mistaken. I have written a couple of things, by the way, for the newsletter. But I, you know, if we can put that together and sort of make a preliminary announcement about what may be coming out, even if we don't want to give an exact date, we could say, oh, sometime this spring, or, you know, you don't have to be too specific, then at least we can get people's interest. And you've already got sort of a preliminary marketing going out through the newsletter to let people know that something's coming. So that's something very practical we could do now.
We could make that landing page a little bit in advance and let people do pre-orders, because I think people do like to do that.
That's true.
Because people see the like advanced news and they think, oh yeah, I will definitely order that when it comes out.
And do then we have forget. A cover yet for it, by the way?
I guess that's what we need.
We just have the cover art. We don't actually have a cover per se yet, so.
But even the cover art would be good, because then even that's just something that you can put up there, and then just, you know, and then when the actual book comes out with the cover, that's, you know, that'll be fine. And what would you say? A book funnel. Let's see. What's this?
That's a landing pages service. It's a little expensive. I'm not suggesting we use it. I'm suggesting we take their ideas.
Yeah.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
Computer magnets.
You know, they use all these marketing tools that maybe we should copy some of them at least and try to they seem to work. I don't know. I'm not 100% sure, but.
So Mary, you mentioned a number of things for the landing page. You meant the cover we talked about.
An excerpt. We always put up the first chapter.
That's so kind. But the blurb is something I've worked on and worked on. And I go around and around in circles with the damn things.
I don't think you're supposed to write your own blurb. Do you want to send me what you've got? And I'll like, I don't think authors
according
are supposed
to write
their own
blurb. According to the stuff that I've been reading, you're the best person to write your own blurb. But
you say so. Well, if you need help with it, let us know.
That's because nobody's paying the editors.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's kind of one of those things that, yeah, you want to get it just perfect. And sometimes maybe it's good to let it go to somebody else because then they'll be able to, look at it with fresh eyes, you know, because when you're looking at it, we're always the most critical of our own work, I think.
I think it's good to have just, you know, like a fresh perspective on it, but then have a collaborative kind of relationship where like nobody's going to impose a blurb, you know, on your book cover or a cover art you don't like, you know? So anyway.
Sometimes people also put reviews on their landing page. This is jumping around a bit, but do we want to put out a call saying, telling people, you know, like 10 people can get an advanced copy if they commit to writing us a review?
Well, that seemed to me a good thing to send out to our community, right?
Lots of people spend lots of their social capital trying to find celebrity authors to write those reviews, but I think we could also just send it out to our community.
Brian George has already gotten a bunch of endorsements or, you know, reviews or testimonials for his book. So getting, you know, and he just asked colleagues, he asked people that he, you know, that he follows their podcast or whatever, or he's been in correspondence with them who are like semi-famous. Maybe they have a podcast, but that's enough, really. It's just, you know, these are small like communities. So we just have to reach those people. Sorry.
I agree.
That's fine. No, I think that's not a bad idea. I mean, yeah, because like I said, if we don't, I mean, look, Jeffrey, you know somebody who you could give it to and who would review it. Otherwise, yeah, that sounds like that's a great idea. I know I have a problem. I have both Jeffrey and Mary have reviewed my book, for which I'm very grateful. And I have another friend who's reviewed it on Goodreads. But trying to get people, like the people I know who do those kinds of things, for example, like you're talking about with Brian George, they wouldn't review a book like mine. They're like into true crime. They're into other stuff, you know, like they don't do that. So it's been a little bit, tough, but that's the reason I mention it is because, if you don't have people who you already know who could do it, that might be a good way to get some people. Who would be interested?
Because I don't really, you know, I know a few people, but you know, they're mostly I've met at the Nebulas, or you know, I don't really know what protocol is to ask people that you met at a science fiction conference whether they would read. You know, I mean, is that?
I think it's just like cold calling anybody, and some people will be annoyed with you because they're already overworked and they had to turn down 10 requests for blurbs, but some people will say yes.
Okay.
Like,
right. Mm-hmm.
Or any readers. I mean, like, you know, if this is like just about sales, I mean, people read the customer reviews all the time, and whether the customer is an expert or well-known in their field or not, just having like that kind of, what they call it, like social proof. They call it social proof. Just the fact that other people have read your book and have nice things to say about it is, you know, like a kind of like something that tips the balance towards somebody maybe buying the book.
Yeah. And if they say something nice, we can pull quotes from it.
Yes.
We can start that process before the proofreading's over too. Like, I think it's kind of standard practice to send the advanced reading copies out with a little disclaimer that they're still going, that they haven't been proofread yet. And that might be worth doing, like from a timing perspective, so that we get them back in time.
But I was thinking, didn't advanced reader copies, don't they need the cover design finished? Or
I mean, it depends. If you're just sending it to your friends, you send them a PDF.
Yeah, I agree. But
No, that's true. Yeah, it's and you wonder too, because a lot of times if people are expecting a physical book, that would have to go through. Yeah, like that's a piece I don't know. I don't know if like the distributor would do that and say, oh, okay, I'll make a proof copy. I'd have to look that up. I'm not sure, but probably the most cost effective thing to do is just to send somebody the PDF.
Yeah. And if we're like putting out a call on Infinite Conversations for advanced reviewers or something like that, then we just say in the call that we're going to send you a PDF.
Yeah. And because they do say, do it well enough ahead of time that people have time to respond, right?
So now they're going to have to read a novel, and some people are faster or slower readers.
Yeah.
Could take up to a month.
Out of curiosity, how many pages we got so far on your novel, Jeffrey?
Yeah, I'm not sure how much it will come out, but it's 70,000 words, is it, I think?
Okay.
About 70,000.
That's not bad. Okay. I mean, that's not...
So it's not on the shorter end.
Like this, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, it's on the shorter end rather than the longer end. Yeah.
Okay. Then I think that's reasonable. That's definitely a reasonable... So I think the one I just produced was 80,000 words, and it's about yay thick. So,
okay. So landing page, advanced copies, reviewers,
and the newsletter. I think that's a good start.
One of the sites I was looking at. Well, because I guess we're just going to do electronic versions of the thing. But if we were actually had, like real live bookstores and things like that, then they say, you know, it's good if you have bookmarks, things like that, that you can, you know, as a kind of a, you know, so I just wanted to mention it. I think it's too early to go that way, but it's probably worth thinking about for the longer term.
What do the bookmarks do though? Like I get bookmarks sometimes and I throw them out.
I always need bookmarks and pens, good pens. I'm always
I do keep the pens.
Well, it's like with podcasts. I've had people tell me, yeah, you want to go to places and you want to bring like pins and you want to bring stickers. Now for me, I have no use for either one of those things, but people love that stuff, you know? It's and I think there are places, my friend who does his other podcast that will do little things like that at a very, very low cost. So if we get to that point that we want to do something.
It's not very expensive to do, I don't think. It requires a certain amount of, you know, smarts to do it. But so you have to pay for the aesthetics, if you like, but the printing is not the big issue, right?
No, exactly. And if you have an idea of what you want. If you have an idea. That was weird.
Oh, I have a question about our website. It might be too early to think of this in our larger scheme, but is the idea that we're going to make a website for Untimely Books, like, do we want to have that ready? Do we need that website ready to go? And then this book is like a subset? It is like a category on that website that you can go to? Or is that too big a project to take on? And for now, we just want to make a website for this book? Or do we want to put that larger structure in so that we can put future books?
These two books, on the same I think, website? Right? Two books.
Hmm? Right. Oh, well, if we have two books, then...
I think it gets to bigger structural questions. Like... We could do a website. It wouldn't be that hard necessarily to do, especially if we kept it simple. To do a website well takes some time and planning and kind of thoughtfulness. It would be easier at this point to just get a page up on the existing Metapsychosis site. Moreover, if we're going to do like e-commerce, like subscriptions or memberships or fundraising, as we've discussed for the books, then it's definitely would be easier to maintain a system on one site than two or three. But it's not out of the question either. But the other thing I've thought too, more to the structural question, is that like Untimely Books is like an imprint, right? It's not like it's going to incorporate like as a separate company.
Yeah,
I would see that more as the kind of function of Cosmos is to be like the vehicle for all the legal, you know, financial, like everything go through Cosmos, but then there could be different kinds of brands that are like sponsored by or sort of making use of that architecture. So Untell Me Books is like one such brand, but it's almost like you could think of it like a virtual company. Like it doesn't have to set up its own bank account or anything like that. So it could also be flexible. Like if some, you know, 5 years down the line, let's say some group of Cosmos members comes along and wants to start another imprint that has a different focus, maybe cookbooks or I don't know, like what, kids books, for example, it wouldn't have to be under Untimely Books. It could be under the more general Cosmos kind of umbrella, but then have its own identity. So that's how I've been thinking about it. That doesn't mean how it's going to necessarily work out, but it's why I think it could be good to sort of have ways to spin things up, like sort of like building blocks. Like you can quickly kind of set up a website or quickly set up a page for an idea you want to try. And then like kind of like that book funnel thing that Eduardo, should I call you Eduardo or Amilcar, by the way? Like,
let's go with Eduardo.
Okay, Eduardo.
Since it's written there, it's easier.
I don't know if you want to be, you know, your kind of superhero self or just your
superhero.
But the book funnel thing, it's like basically it's like a set of tools or, you know, templates that you could use, and then you plug your content into it, like plug your book and your images and stuff. But the templates are the same, and I mean, I haven't seen it, but I know it's probably the kind of thing we could do. Just like Patreon is also the kind of thing that's not hard to clone. Like it's not hard to do with existing tools. So anyhow, to get back to your question.
I think Patreon is much harder. This book funnel things are already made. You can find a plugin or several WordPress plugins that have the structure, and you just have to fill the spaces, you know, like the blurb goes here, the cover goes here, and it's already made. And these structures have been improved over time by all these marketing people, and all the landing pages look similar.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, there's a formula, and I think basically we want to just bring some thoughtfulness to how we do it. Like I would suggest, because particularly of our time scale and because I would rather invest the time into Metapsychosis right now, like I know that there are a lot of things we could improve and make that better before we do another site. Like I'd rather improve Metapsychosis and then we could also look at doing other sites. So I would say that we should have a page for Untimely Books in general, and then we should have a page for each of the books that is in pre-production. And like you suggested, Mary, those are landing pages that you can do, you know, you learn about the book, you can see the reviews, it's all laid out in a you know, nice way, and it's leading people to like pre-order. Like that's the thing, that's the call to action is the term.
Yeah.
We want them to sign up to, you know, to buy the book, give us their credit card information if they have it, you know, whatever, like we want actually to that. I mean, that's classical marketing, is you build a funnel. They call it a funnel. That's the metaphor used. Okay. So it's a funnel. And then at the wider end of the funnel are these kind of like more dispersed kinds of, you know, attractors. And then the further in you go, you get kind of deeper, you know, more committed to the brand or to the product. And, you know, you get, maybe you become a customer or you become a repeat customer, or you become a higher level customer, whatever it is. But basically that's what we're doing. And I'd say, you know, that page can serve a couple of different functions. You know, it could also, if people don't want to buy the book, they could sign up to get an update, for example, when the book is released. And then we have a list for everybody that's specifically interested in Jeffrey's book. And we know that we can send them things that we might not send to everybody else, you know, because they haven't expressed an interest. And we also know that group is going to be more likely to to become purchasers of the book. If you want to get like devious, you can like follow them around on Facebook. You can upload their email addresses into Facebook, and then Facebook will show them ads. Or you can do the same thing with other platforms. But
I'm actually really skeptical of paying Facebook to do any part of marketing, because I don't actually trust that they deliver what they say they will when they're like, we'll boost your ad for $5.
Yeah, it's usually, my thing is usually to boost it for a week. That'll boost it for like a day. I think like for a week, it's like $25. And yeah, that's one of the things I was talking about, is that when you go in and choose your demographic for the ad, it's basically saying, what country do you want to promote this to? Do you want to promote it to all of the United States? That's too big. You know what I mean? It doesn't allow you to say, oh, I want this age group, or I want people in this. It doesn't let you do that. It's just, it's kind of an all or none approach, which is why I think it doesn't work so well, you know?
Yeah. I think we should focus our resources on things that we can just target better.
Yeah. And I think, oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. Well, we were talking about contacting email list from little editorial or imprints or little things that are more aligned with what we're trying to do. And I think that if we do that, we have an in with them, like they will help us promote the book more, like they will give us contact us with other people that are in the same business. Like I like that idea. I thought that was like the idea that won the other day. And I think you already have in mind some people we could some email list or pages we could use. I don't know. I think.
Agree.
So I don't have one.
A quick note after Eduardo talked about his name. I've changed my name here to, this is the name I'm going to publish under.
Whoa.
Jeffrey Jen Edwards, not Jeffrey Edwards.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Because Jeffrey Edwards, there are a number of other Jeffrey Edwards in the world, some of them quite prominent. So I needed the kind of change. And Jeffrey Jen reflects gender fluidity, my gender fluidity. So I'm adopting that name as a publishing name.
Cool.
More distinctive than.
Cool. Yeah, like if you, it's a Googleable name. Like if you put that name, you are the one that's going to appear.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you put Jeffrey Edwards, there's a competition.
Yeah. Yeah. A couple of other things. Book launch. Are we going to do a live event of some sort as a book launch? Maybe the two books. I don't know.
Like through Zoom, you know, someone could be MC and ask the authors a few questions, and then they could each do a reading. I don't know if you're thinking of.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. Something like that.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Just that.
Yeah. Why not?
Absolutely.
I love that idea. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it allows us to talk about untimely books and not just the two books. So even though there's no direct web page for it, but we can still talk about it. Yeah.
And maybe there's the way we can do like a raffle draw. Someone gets a book for attending thing. You can do that over.
Yeah,
over
that's Zoom, a good idea. Yeah.
That's great. I don't know if we have to pay Zoom for doing that. Do you know?
No, I think okay. we already have paid accounts, and it's just yes. that you, depending on how many people come, so we may have to do something like, instead of this kind of arrangement, one of the systems where people come in and watch only, they're not necessarily interacting, depending on how many people there were. If it was small enough, it could be done.
Depends on the level of the account. Like the one I have one that's just above the, I mean, I pay for it. I pay for a little above the basic, and it's like, you can get 100 people.
Right.
And if you go above 100 people, yeah, then it becomes an issue. So it depends on how many people basically.
It's the webinar. It's the webinar feature. It is an add-on, but you can add it on for a month and then remove it. You know, after the launch, if we don't use it regularly, we could.
And if even if they can't interact like by speaking, we can assign one of us as a volunteer to be moderator and keep an eye on the comments, and people can put questions for the author in the comments and then feed those to the to the MC. I've seen that done at conferences.
Well, I think that would be a good thing to do to attract. Yep. I've decided to separate the fashion business completely from this thing. I'm not going to mix up the two. In a way, I'm not quite ready for the fashion stuff. And in a way, I'd rather do the fashion stuff as a real live fashion show in front of a live audience. And that will actually give another marketing spin on this somewhat later, because I'll wait until, you know, this post-COVID period allows that to happen. And it'll be another opportunity to talk about the book, right? So
cool.
Sounds good.
Just one little footnote I wanted to add. I'm hopping back to the landing page, is that you can have different domain names. Like, so for example, if you wanted to say promote untimelybooks.com, I don't know if we have that or not, but you could have that, and it can point to whatever page you want. So it could be like a redirect. And I think that, you know, one thing we could do to pick up, I think, on Eduardo, your idea about contacting other publications and stuff is make our authors, or Jeffrey, if you want to do this, I know Brian is interested, like available for interviews, like invite these other publications, let them know that, you know, this book is being published. We think your audience would be interested in, you know, in them. And I mean, we can make an offer of reciprocity also. Like, we could just mention that the minute, you know, we have a blog, and, you know, we're happy to look at review copies, you know, from other publications. You know what I mean? Like, scratch your back, you scratch mine.
I'm definitely interested. Yeah.
I think if we use that vehicle of promotion, like the little publications, like, they could help us get other publications, like a podcast or like things that they have a direct contact with, because we are already putting money into, I don't want to even say it, but it's like that. Like, if we are contributing to their publication, they will be more likely to help us get to another, to their friends, to another, you know, we would get in the mix easier. And
are you suggesting like advertising with, like, putting ads in those?
If we put an ad in a publication and we ask them to help us get interviews in other publications, they would help us. I think they will be more likely to help us, and everybody has like the sister sites or sites that they are, that they can affect, that they can recommend us to. That's what I think. I'm not exactly 100% sure, but that's what I think it would happen. Like, if we already are advertising with them and we ask them, like, hey, we want to get interviews, can you help us? They would most likely
help. We'd be greasing the wheels.
Yeah.
Maybe we need a list of sites, or I don't know, organizations that do this. I don't know what the, I mean, I have no idea, right? I mean, I suppose I could, one could advertise with tor.com or something like that. I don't know if they even take advertisements for outside, but.
Well, here's an
I'm
idea.
I'm trying to think of magazines I know that seem like good advertising. And I thought of Broken Pencil. seem like they might be into this. But they haven't, they don't have their rates in their website. We could look into that. We could look into advertising places. Paid.
It's just what came to mind, a spreadsheet, right? So a spreadsheet lists all the sort of publications, podcasts, like possible places where we might have contact. And what are the different kinds of, you know, asks we can make or interactions we can have? Like we could advertise maybe, we can send a review copy. We might just like send an email inquiry, like, you know, it might be a more of a cold call, or we might know somebody. So it could be more of a personal like contact. But if we were to combine like a list of, I would just go with, you know, who do we like? Like, you know, who would we feel comfortable with? You know, even if it's different, it still is related, you know? And then we could like divide it up and each of us take a few of the things and like make the contact or, you know, inquire into advertising rates and try to, you know, try to get a kind of broad, broad reach. I think that's the way too. I mean, I don't want to give my money. You know, I wouldn't want to give money to Facebook anyway. Like, so I think that's just off the table. Like, because we don't want, we want a different sort of ecosystem. Like, we're trying to.
I hate Facebook for that.
Yeah.
Why even feed them? Why feed the beast? You know, feed what you want to see grow, and then I think you're right. I mean, practically speaking, it's like payola, you know, like, but it's not, it's just, it's actually, you can look at it more like in, you know, reinvesting in an ecosystem. Think about, you know, it's not just that metapsychosis is successful, but that there's a larger like culture of readership, you know, and that there's cross pollination and more of like mycelial kind of relationships. And it doesn't only have to be literary publications, that there could be other kinds of organizations that would be interested in the kinds of topics that we're publishing about. Maybe some religious organizations, you know, like maybe some like associations, academic associations, like. So I think we could, I think thinking more about building relationships with, you know, other people in the field would be more helpful, because then also like that could lead into greater collaborations down the road. Like it could become that, you know, we interview somebody from them or they, I don't know, like that, those kinds of things can grow.
You're a poet, Marco, because you said what I was trying to say, but in a much better way. And that's what we should say. Like that was beautiful.
So I have two items.
That's the idea also.
I think so.
I have two items that we've identified that we haven't identified somebody who will do them. So develop a spreadsheet for this. Somebody needs to take that on. And organizing the live event, somebody needs to organize how that happens. And maybe a kind of agenda or, you know, emceeing or who does what and that kind of stuff.
I won't do the latter. I will do the spreadsheet because I kind of see it in my mind already.
Okay.
And then you can edit it, please, like, you know, help make it better. But I've been working on spreadsheets lately.
I could work on the live event if I could work on it with somebody, because I can't say I've ever done one before. So if
Rich, I could, let's do it together.
Let's do it. Okay.
And we're talking about a joint one for both books. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah.
Okay.
I want to help you. I want to help with that event. Me in. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So we'll let's see. So I guess we're gonna so what's the kind of timeline here? I guess are we trying to do this event more sooner or later? How is that, like, with respect to the webpage going up, with respect to
I think it should be after the book exists.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
It really is a launch party. So
okay. So we'll, right. So I guess the first thing then was we're gonna try to get some kind of a landing page. And we're putting together some kind of pre-ordering and preliminary marketing, at least for right now. So it'll be, you know, like I said, what we promote in the newsletter, what might be in terms of like the review copies or something like that, in PDF form. And was there a third thing? My brain's fried, so I'm trying to remember. I can't remember.
I've written down landing page, reviewers, advanced feeding copies, book launch, and advertising spreadsheet. I think that was our.
Okay, so I didn't miss anything. Okay, and yeah, so the launch party will come once we get to that point of having the physical book. So okay,
yeah.
So we're looking probably more at spring for that.
Yeah, March, April, right?
March, April.
Yeah, March, April. Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. I have to say, I would have volunteered, but I have to say that I'm getting so excited about this thing. I'm having trouble sleeping.
Oh, no. Oh, poor you. You can't volunteer for the launch party, Jeffrey. You're in the launch.
Like, we're giving giving a party for you. We can't do that. Yeah, you don't want to plan your own party. You know, I guess you could in some cases, but you know.
Another thing I've looked into in the last few days, again, through this sort of Readsy thing that I looked at, I sat in a webinar this afternoon on marketing and book launching. And so this thing about title, subtitle, and series title on the Amazon, you know, the way that yes. works. So I looked into it and I have some suggestions for these things. So Plenum, the first book of Deo is the title. A subtitle I found that has a lot, fair amount of traction is a coming of age space opera.
And, that sounds cool.
And a series title, The Edo Chronicles, a Far Future Science Fiction Saga. Saga okay. seems to work much better than history. History is just dead, but saga is... got some vibration behind it, so
okay, got him. I gotta get that from you for the I don't have paper with me right now, but I gotta get that when I do the metadata so that I can put all that in, because that's where it all come up. So
I'll send it out, I guess.
Yes, if you could just send me the specifics, and then that way when I have to go put that in, I'll have it. That's great.
Bridget, I have a question. What'd you do for ISBN numbers?
You have two choices. You can take an ISBN that Ingram assigns for free, or you can purchase ISBNs. I think usually you purchase like a batch of like 10 or something at a time. And I'm trying to remember how much they cost. It's like 80 or 100 bucks or something like that. But
is there any reason to pay for it if there's a free version?
Well, if it is your, otherwise it's kind of Ingram's ISBN and it's not the one for your imprint. So that's the difference. It's has to do with how the book is, because the ISBN number, you have a certain prefix that tells you the country that it's published in, and then you have that code that's specific to you as a publisher. So if you just take that, then it's just kind of like, oh, general indie distributor. And that's how it shows up, actually. That's how they translate it. So even if you put an imprint name, like for mine, I put Cthonia Books, but the one that I didn't have, they actually weren't selling ISBNs because of COVID. It's really weird. But I had the, on Maeve, I have that on there. And then it comes out as just indie publisher. It doesn't use my imprint name when it sells it. So that's the difference, I think.
Maybe Cosmos should buy a batch, because I think they're a lot more expensive if you buy them individually. I think
yes.
I bought a batch like 20 years ago. I think I still have a few.
Okay, because you get them through Bowker or something like that. You can order them, but the publisher will negotiate it for you too. So, I mean, I'm sorry, the distributor. We'll do that. But yeah, if you have some, then I just have to have it for the metadata, and I just got to put it in when I put it in for the book production. So,
okay. So that's a follow-up for me. I also just want to note the landing page is something that I'll take responsibility for doing, but not for writing all the copy on it. I think I'll need some help with.
I want to help you with that. I want to take that on.
Yeah. Let's work together on that. That'd be really cool.
Perfect. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, interesting. Okay. I'm just looking at all your links, Eduardo. So.
Yeah. I found those. One is a podcast. I haven't had the chance to listen to any of the episodes, but it seems good. It has a lot of info about marketing science fiction specifically. And the other is a service that I don't know how it works. I was reading yesterday, but I didn't get to the place where they ask for money. Like, it seems free, but I don't think it's free. But it says like, join us here, open your account free, everything seems free. And it's like a discount on ebooks, and they put the deals, and they have like a community. And if you give, maybe that's the deal, like you give them the ebook at a discount price and they can sell it to their community and everybody wins. But I don't know, it looks too professional to be free. It's what I think.
Yeah, it's BookBub. I've heard of BookBub before, but I don't know quite how it works, to be honest. But
I think you submit your thing. There's a way to submit it anyway to BookBub. I buy books through BookBub. So I kind of think if I do it, some other people must be doing it. You know, there's such a lot of choice in the books that it's hard. It's really hard to figure out what books that one's interested in. And BookBub gives me a small little thing there, almost hardly cost anything at all. And I occasionally take a chance on something there. So
cool. That says a lot. Like, that maybe that will work for us.
They have an author section at the bottom. I was just looking at the page, like if you want to have a deal or whatever. So I don't know. It sounds like it might be a kind of thing where maybe you get a certain amount of money, or you, you know, you allow things to be published at a lesser cost, or I'm not sure, but it looks like there's some kind of a deal to cut there, but I don't.
I'll maybe look into it since it's maybe more my end of the thing, but.
Okay.
I had another question. I know there are sites in Canada where one deposes or information about books published by Canadian writers. Mary, I think you have some ideas about that too. I remember you telling me something about that. But
do you mean to like be eligible for things, or?
Well, I know there's thing about the copyright.
No, this definitely didn't come from me.
No, okay. But I was wondering if there's anything like that in the States, where there's sort of set places that the thing has to go into somehow.
Like Library of Congress?
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of stuff, yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Well, there's two things. I mean, a book doesn't have to be submitted to the Library of Congress. There's a special, they only accept certain books. You're a librarian, you would know this, right? But there are a couple of other things. Like the description of the book and the way that's on the inside cover on the publishing page, the copyright.
The verso.
Yeah, the verso. So that has to be written specially. That follows a particular.
Yeah, that's what I do for a living. That's what I'm trained to do, and I train other people to do.
Okay.
I create the verso data. Yeah, that's Potter Rutgers. Yeah. So it's, yes, there's, I mean, obviously there's the publisher end of it, but then there's also the library. And actually the publisher can produce that data, or the Library of Congress can produce, well, or in your case, the National Library of Canada could potentially produce that data depending on how they do it. But that's if you submit it, usually that's a copyright thing where the publisher can submit the galley proof to the National Library. And then there, from there, they catalog it. Though I know that they have tremendous backlogs, so how they've expedited it, I'm not entirely sure. But in the States, it's called the CIP program, or cataloging and publication. So they take basically a galley and they kind of put some metadata together. They put the title and the subtitle and the subject headings and any series statements. They don't put like pagination and stuff because you don't have it yet. And then eventually it goes into the national database, OCLC, international, I should say. And then when the book comes out, then somebody ostensibly goes in and updates all of that. But that's sort of part of that. But that's also, I think, part of the copyright process too. Because I know.
I also don't know because the Canadian thing obviously is usually about books published in Canada. I'm not sure about Canadian authors who are publishing in the United States and how that works either.
Right. So. Although actually, if it was going to be published in the US, yeah, then probably it could be submitted to LC, but I'd have to see what the process is. Like, I haven't done it from that end. I'm always doing it from the other end. So I'm not quite sure how that works, but I can look into it if you want. Let's see.
I have a question. We definitely not want to feed the beast, but what about Goodreads for advertising?
Yeah. Yes, Jeffrey, just wrote a review of my book on Goodreads.
Yeah. What? I didn't hear you.
I'm sorry.
There is apparently a paid service on Goodreads, which I've not heard the best things about, but I think it's better to go through individuals who write book reviews. I think that works fine, but...
Yeah, I think that's part of our advanced reading strategy. When we say you can have a copy of the book if you put a review on Goodreads or Amazon. Are we selling
Amazon reviews too? Yes, exactly.
And I could put the same review in both places. I mean, if they have accounts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We circled just back on the advanced reader thing. So how is that going to happen exactly? Like, is that?
I think we should decide. We need to decide that. Are we going to get a curated list of advanced readers where we all sort of think of people? Or do we want to frame it? Sometimes I see writers frame it as a giveaway, like I'm giving away advanced copies of my book to get one. You just have to promise to write a review. And then they go to anyone, you know, you announce it on your website or on your forum, on your social media, and anybody can respond. So that, I think there's that strategy, or there's the strategy where we brainstorm a list of people that we think would be really interested and send messages to them individually, or some combination of those two.
I think the metapsychosis community is strong and it's only really smart people. We can go wide with in the community, like everybody who wants the book and promises to write a review, here's the book.
But inside
the community, yeah.
And to keep yourself from just giving away dozens and dozens of books, you can put a limit on it. You can say the first 10 people to get it back to us, or the first, you pick a number too, because maybe you don't want to give away a whole bunch of books for free.
Yeah, although I've read again discussions that say if you get good reviews back, they're worth every penny you spend on giving out the free copies, because the good reviews give you a lot of traction on sales. So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. So like 20?
Yeah, maybe 20. Yeah. 20 seems to be the magic.
And also, if the person likes the book, maybe he would buy a physical copy, because this would be just a PDF. It's not the real book.
Oh, what if we give them the PDF for free to a certain limited number of people, and then if they post a review, they get a discount code on the physical copy.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's great. That.
Mm-hmm. And like a nice discount, you know, 25% off or 50% off or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That works.
Yeah, and if they've read it once, and they can gift it to somebody else, then I feel like it.
Yeah. And I don't know. I still like physical books a lot. Like, I'm not. I would, if I like a book, I would buy it.
Mm-hmm. I'm the same way. Yeah.
There's, I guess, also you know, if we were to follow more of the crowdfunding model, where there's like different levels that you can contribute to, like there could be like one level where you get the book and another level where you get a signed copy of the book, and then another level where you get, you know, the book and a Zoom session, you know, or something with the author, you know, you can, the sky's the limit. Like, you know, the author will come out and visit you and give you a neck rub. Like, you know, that's for very high donors, right?
Yeah, there is,
I mean, we could think about different kinds of perks, you know, that I know if I were really into something and I wanted to support, you know, the artist, I might be more likely to pay a little bit more and get something special because it's not just going to be like another paperback. It's going to be, you know, something more, you know, memorable. So perhaps there are some things like that. And then the art could be incorporated or even the fashion, you know, when that comes online.
Yeah.
I know that when it seems to me, I'm pretty sure, just because like physically signing the books can become cumbersome because the publisher has to like then send it to the author who then ships it to the person. It seems to me a lot of people do signed book plates. Like,
yes.
Like they'll mail you a book plate that you can put in the book that was shipped from the publisher just so that to avoid the number of places that those books have to be shipped.
How does that work? What's a book plate?
Like just a sticker.
An ex libris sticker, yeah. To say, yeah, this is, I have this book, and then the author signs it. I actually have a friend, one of my friends, he actually does that. He's put out two books, one with Simon and Schuster and one with another. And he, yeah, as he says, if you want my signature, I'll send you a book plate, you know.
I used to have tons of them. I used to collect them.
Yeah, there's a lot of different designs too, and they're kind of cool in their own way.
Yeah.
I didn't know about that. That sounds smart.
Yeah, because it's certainly much easier to send out a little book plate than it is to, yeah, like you said, get the physical copy of the book and sign it and then mail it off to somebody.
Another thing that could be offered is a discounted copy of the next book to appear in the series.
It puts pressure on you to get that second one done.
Well, I mean, there is something like it could be almost like a subscription where you become like a sort of patron, and for each issue that comes out, maybe it's once a year, once every 2 years, whatever, you know, rhythm, you automatically receive it.
And that would be good, actually. Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's bookmark that one and come back to it. Cause that's, I think it would maybe entail you projecting like how, what your, and us as a publishing company projecting what our productivity is going to be.
I've done that, the work, but my experience is that typically the times I put down get doubled, if not tripled. In practice.
What a shock.
I'm a bit leery of the process.
Yeah.
Be careful what you promise. Yeah. It's like, exactly. Like a contractor, you know, it's like, yeah, it'll be done in 6 months. And it's like, okay, that's probably a year. But not because, you know, not because this is not for the same reasons, but because it's much harder with creative work to get it just right, you know.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
The level. I mean, there are some creatives who just are able to get things out like on a schedule. Or I think of some of these film directors, you know, who just pump out movies like year after year, like Martin Scorsese, for example. Like how many, anyway, this is a tangent, but you know, how you get to the point where you're just hyper productive, I think. I don't feel like I'm anywhere near there yet, but it's nice to think that it's possible.
It's like these authors like Ivanovich or Grafton, they like have a new book out every year. It's like, how do you do that? Like,
or Simenon, who wrote books in 6 weeks and
published, yes,
you know, I mean, yeah.
Like,
they were short kind of books, but still,
I know, seriously, it's like, yeah, exactly.
Could we talk a bit about the newsletter then, like going back to that? Because, mm-hmm. I'm a little fuzzy on what our timeline was for that. I know, but I know that it was soon. I know that.
I think it's before the end of February, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong.
We want to do one per month. And so definitely I think it should be a goal to do February. I guess we just never decided which week in February it was.
Yeah, and like, what's going to be the pattern, you know, going forward? Is it going to be the end of the month, beginning of the month? Like, would it be nice for it to be a certain week of the month? And maybe that, you know, that way we could do our meeting and somehow like that, it feeds into the newsletter. It helps us prepare for it. But I don't know what that would be.
Third week of last February? Week.
The third week, let's see. Well, we're in the first week now. And so we're going to meet next one. Yeah, we're going to meet on the 10th and the 24th. So I would say either we do it in the middle of the month, which is sort of that third week, or we just shoot for like March 1st or something and say we're going to have it all together by the 24th.
What's going in this first newsletter? Like, do we have it all ready? We can put, we'll put one of the interviews and we're announcing Jeffrey's book.
And I did the little slurt thing on star gardening, which we can put in.
Yeah.
And I have a little book review of what I've read recently, so I could put that in. And go ahead.
It just sounds like we have a lot of material is all I was going to say.
I think we have a fair amount already.
Oh, I think I was also going to do a From the Archives as well to stick in there.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
And so what you have to do is it kind of like an editorial text to tie it all together, however brief that is, that someone writes a few paragraphs saying what's like in that.
Right, like, you know, hi, you know, hello and welcome to our new whatever, and this is what's going on, and yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can do it.
Okay.
Yeah, man.
All right. Eduardo will do it.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
We build this out? Like, what are the components of it? Like, if we actually were going to build it, like, in
blocks. Okay.
So I think, obviously the summary blurb, like we're talking about, would probably be the first thing. And then we'd have these different sections, which again, could be book reviews. They could be what's up, you know, like what's new, what's coming up.
We don't want to put too much in any given newsletter either. Cause it's like, I think the ideal one is that lands in someone's inbox, they click on it from curiosity and it takes them 15 or 20 minutes to do the whole thing. Mm-hmm. To read everything they're interested in. Like anything more than that, and we're out of newsletter territory.
And, I totally agree.
If we put out more, we have to produce it every month. And keep it streamlined.
I don't even think we need to have the same kind of categories of things each time, but just maybe it, like, as a general rule, like four mini articles. Things. Yeah.
Okay.
Or three or something, but like, you know,
yeah,
kind of manage it that way.
I think that From the Archive can be a link, maybe two lines and a link.
Yeah, that's not going to take up a lot of space. Yeah,
that's good because there's so much material in that side that.
Well, people who are newer certainly haven't seen the older stuff, so yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In the thread underneath last week's editorial meeting, I think Jeffrey and I have been putting stuff for the newsletter, like Jeffrey's little essay is there and my interviews are there that Marco went through and formatted properly. So those are ready to go, I think.
There were a couple like edits too, like you might want to check out, like just little minor things and a couple of comments I made. But I mean, the formatting is what it was, just it's my own, you know. What do you call it? But
okay, so we have those two things. So we have the interview, we have Jeffrey's piece. I'm going to do it from the archives. Do we need one other thing? Or do you think that plus an introductory thing is enough? Or do you think there should be one more thing?
I would like for there to be some kind of like report on like the reading groups and something about conversations, like if there are active conversations. And those could just be links. It doesn't have to be like a big thing. But I mean, part of what I was thinking is, well, we've had these groups that have been going on for quite a while, these long-term groups, which are basically Aurobindo reading groups at this point. We've had other things going on in the past, like when we were reading Milton and other poets. But I I'm not 100% committed. Like I still need to think of, I still need to kind of finalize my schedule, but I would like to like invigorate that and like always have something going that somebody could participate in. Like maybe like we have these long-term projects, like 2 years or 3 years to read Savitri, but we might have a monthly book that we read, or a day every couple of weeks, which I would really like to do, where we just read poetry and it's, you know, different every time. And maybe even different guests come on, or kind of like a podcast, kind of like a reading, you know, reading group. I would like to do that. To me, it's an important part. Like I want to be a better reader. And the writing groups too is something we've done in the past, and are like a latent possibility. Like I'd like maybe before the newsletter, I want to make a commitment myself to like doing those things, and just when, and you know, how often, and you know, what the parameters are. So that could be in the newsletter, and it could
be. You want it for this newsletter, Marco?
I think so. Like I think that, I mean, to me, it's part of building the membership too, is that like there's things you could do.
Yeah.
That like, and it's been a little bit hard to figure out how to do those things. Like it's, but generally been like the people who can figure it out, or who stick around long enough. And, but like, for example, Ed Mahood, did, a reading group on, Bernardo Kastrup's book on idealism, right? And it was good. There were like seven people that joined, and people showed up week after week. They had really interesting conversations. Jeffrey was in some of these really interesting conversations. I listened to them, and I know that Bernardo Kastrup has a readership, and he was aware of the group. Like he tweeted about it. But that's the perfect kind of thing. Like I didn't even participate in it, but because it was a possibility, something that a member could do, Ed was able to do it. Now, what if one of those participants wanted to do another, you know, group on another, you know, author that they're interested in? I would see Metapsychosis as like providing kind of like the cultural matrix, and then Cosmos providing like the infrastructure, like the Zoom line, the forum category, you know, the forum,
right.
The membership structure. But it would really need to be like clearer how to do it, you know, like, so there's maybe a sign up form, and it's like, you just say what books you're interested in. And then somehow others can see that and sign up. Like, so anyway, that's something I'd like to do. And we can add it to the newsletter if y'all think that's okay. A good idea.
Well, then it sounds to me like we've got, like there's five of us here, and it sounds like there's five things to do. So Marco, I know one of it is we've got to get the template together in terms of what needs to go in there. And that's something you would have to have come from your end. But it sounds like also you under the reading group, we have Eduardo to do the kind of overview, you know, welcome to the newsletter, here was in it. So we need to talk about Jeffrey's book, which is or the Untimely books, both as kind of a new thing. And then I can put in something from the archives. And then of course we have the two pieces that Jeffrey and Mary did, the interview and the other. And that sounds like that's it. That sounds like that's enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's two interviews. Just pick one interview and we'll save the other one for next week.
Yeah, and I have a book review. Yeah. I'll save it for next month. So, yeah.
Perfect. What about the call to review Jeffrey's book? That goes in the newsletter, right? The call for the 20 early reviewers.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Put it right into the newsletter.
Yeah, it could be part of that. You know, here's the new thing that's coming out, and hey, you could do this. You know, yeah, that could be in there.
If we use Marjorie's piece, we'll have artwork. Just a note.
good. Yeah, nice. Yeah. Oh, I love her art so much.
Oh, with the interview. Yeah, her interview. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. What was I going to say? Oh, if we're announcing Jeffrey's book, then we need like a 2 or 3 line blurb of it.
So I will send you my blurbs, and Mary, you'll tell me whether or not.
Yeah. Good. I mean, just in the newsletter, it'll be like coming soon, a book about something. Might like this if you like something. Mm-hmm. Act now to get your advanced reading copy. Yeah. Something like that.
There you go. Perfect.
Okay.
So the aim is to get this out at the beginning of March. I think that's reasonable. I think anytime February is not too reasonable, but because we're going to have to get some things ready on the website too, like the landing pages for these books. And like, I'm thinking that, you know, we have an opt-in, like people can add their email address there, you know, some way of pre-ordering the book. So I think that'll take a couple of weeks to actually set up.
Well, then let's go for March 1st, because that's a Monday.
Oh, good.
I think that's perfect. Yeah. So we'll shoot for that.
Everyone likes getting nice emails on Monday morning.
Yeah, there you go. Start your month, you know, spring's coming, you know, it's great.
It's perfect.
I think it's good. I think that sounds good.
Beautiful.
Okay.
If anybody has someone too, I had fun doing those interviews and now we've got two, but if anyone thinks of someone they'd like me to interview, put me in touch.
I can start
working out ahead. Get a whole year's worth of them.
Yeah, I should probably check in with Annie at some point to see if she's any farther along and would like wanting an interview. Yeah. I don't want to be pushy with her. It might just be kind of like, hey, how's it going?
I was just reading a Canadian literary journal, and I came across a poem by her. I was like, oh, this is really good. Who's the author? And it was Annie Blake.
She's very talented. Like, she really is.
It was Room Magazine, and it's for women only. They only accept submissions from women or transgender men. And but it's one of the like top literary journals in Canada. So it was very, very impressive.
Cool. I have a friend who is a great writer. He wrote this book. A huge book. It's called Andy Hell. I don't know, because he's an internet friend. He's British.
I like the name.
Maybe, yeah. The three books are called Whatever, Together, and Forever. So it's the WTF trilogy. and it's really funny. It's not as serious as The Things in Metapsychosis. It's like a comedy book almost, but it's really good. Maybe we should get in touch with him, because I think like he's British, like to get someone British in the project, maybe, or at least maybe it can start with an interview and you can get to know the guy. He's a beast. He wrote those three books in 3 years, and there's like an album that ties with the books. And an audiobook. He's very prolific, and I like it very much. I don't know. Maybe you should read.
It sounds like something. I don't know if this would be like if you've got time to do this, but if you had time to write a review of it, it sounds like a review of it would be something that we would publish on Metapsychosis or something. Right? Like, this perfect. Sounds kind of
like
our thing.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not done reading it, so it would be for like the third newsletter.
That's
but
fine.
I will do it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that should work out.
You know, like the thing I think is cool, it's to get to the other continent.
Let me tell you, Eduardo, I wish I could get to that other continent. I've been trying for like 10 years. So at least to go and stay, but you know, it's very difficult.
Yeah.
I don't know if it helps, but I was born in the UK.
Oh, man.
Cool.
So you want to adopt me and then say I'm a citizen and then I can move over there? Yeah. It's for Americans, it is so difficult. Of course, it's difficult the reverse way too, I suppose. It's fair enough. But, you know, yeah, I haven't given up hope in spite of COVID, so.
Maybe there's one more thing that we can put into the newsletter. If not, it doesn't have to be the first one. It could be the later one. But like, I think that there are other things we could be doing with marketing that maybe none of us wants to do necessarily or is the best people to do. But like, we have accounts on social media, right? We have Facebook. We have a Twitter account. We have a YouTube channel through Infinite Conversations that's just pretty, just nobody pays attention to it. You know, like, it's not organized. It's not, videos aren't tagged properly, or, you know, things like that. The things that one would have to do to build an audience in those channels, like, nobody's doing. There are also some alternative social media networks, Minds.com, Mastodon. And like, it seems like that would be the kind of thing that somebody who wanted to could volunteer for, like, somebody, not us, that, like, you could be the manager of our YouTube channel, you know, and just, you know, see to it that the videos are, you know, well organized. And maybe we are also building like playlists of other kinds of content that, you know, are related to or relevant to metapsychosis and cosmos. And so then, you know, people can find, like, for example, there's a music video thread on the forum. It's probably like 100 or 200 music videos, but you'd have to scroll through the whole thing to actually, you know, listen to the playlist. Somebody could do a playlist, you know, in YouTube or on Spotify. And anyway, there's like a lot of things, like little things like that, that with an hour or two a week, if somebody wanted to, they could do it. So I feel like if we had like maybe little job postings, you know, like ways that somebody can get involved in the marketing group, and, you know, or the other groups that we've discussed in the other meetings, like administrative, technology, etc., that, you know, that would be a way to expand our capacity. And then we'd spend more time of our time, like, just doing writing and doing, you know, maybe podcasting or whatever else we like to do.
Well, my gut feeling, and this is just a gut feeling, anybody can, you know, obviously feel free to contradict me. I feel like that would be good for the second one. I don't know why.
Yeah, because you want to lure them in with content before you ask them to do things.
Right. That would be good reasoning behind it. But yeah, my gut was kind of going the second one, not the first one, but maybe the second one. Because the first one, you may not have enough people looking at it. And the second one, maybe you're going to have a broader, you know.
Yeah, we also have a lot.
I think it's a good idea.
We have a lot to do already. So,
but yeah, we'll put it down for the second one. Yeah.
All right. Cool. I feel like I had something else too on my list. No, I don't.
Okay.
Well, I think we've covered everything on my list, so.
Yeah, I think we're doing pretty good.
Yeah. It's a good meeting.
Yeah.
We're a productive group. I think that's good. That's awesome.
I was going to say that maybe we could, maybe there's a piece to be written about the physics of marketing, because you could, like, imagine,
you know, two things I'm bad at,
you know, the funnel, the funnel of marketing. You could see that as a cosmic phenomena, as like how like stars form, right? In stellar nurseries, there's a gravitational convergence of matter, right? And then the more dense it becomes, the more intense the gravitational pull. And so you get this emergence of like a stellar cluster, right? Jeffrey, you've written pieces like this. And marketing is kind of like that, because, you know, our work becomes like this attractor, and then the attractor gains gravitational force through intensification. And then that's what draws matter toward it. And it becomes like these orbital like phenomena, planets and stars and asteroids and things like that. And, you know, it's a dynamic system. So things are coming in and going out of it, and it's all spinning, and it's, you know, in concert with other gravitational, you know, force fields and the larger, you know, the larger galaxy or whatever, wherever it is. But it kind of goes metaphorically better with cosmos to think about it that way than to think about like a funnel, you know, which is like some kind of a mechanical contraption, you know. And it also is like, I think, as far as like the cosmic vision, it's natural, it's like naturalistic in a way. And it also has an element of freedom, because the kind of funnel is a sort of, it's sort of like a sublimated predatory kind of relationship, you know, with people's attention. Like you're trying to capture their attention, and you're trying to, like, there's a manipulative effort, and it's just part of like what is the, you know, the trade. But at another level, you can also see that as a natural phenomena, as natural dynamics, where if there's like an intensification of like a spiritual content, a spiritual force, that it's going to have these same kinds of dynamics of attraction and, you know, bring people into orbit. And then, you know, those become like their own sort of bodies that like have their own, like, you know, attractive kind of, you know, force. So like then the cosmos becomes a generative field. It becomes like a matrix of possibilities, you know, where if you happen to be fortunate enough to be like in the region of, you know, of the universe that you would be drawn into it, then it's going to enable like some kind of like emergence, you know, in your own local field. Anyway, like telling like that sort of meta story, I think would, and at least to me, it helps me like frame what we're doing. And it kind of works too, like with the fiction, you know, it works with like, so with
there, there is this idea of the great attractor, which is not where we are. It's further over in space. And all these clusters of galaxies are moving towards this great attractor, including ours, but we're nowhere near the center of it.
Is it like a supermassive black hole?
No, it's much, much bigger than that. It's actually a colossal thing.
Oh, really?
You know, that's kind of cosmos, because we're not really in the center of things. We're all
we're off in our own little corner over here. Yeah, we're exactly. Just kind of moving in some direction. Yes.
Well, I like the idea of the center being everywhere and the circumference nowhere. I think that was Pascal, right? I think like we all carry the cosmos in ourselves. Like we're the microcosmos of the, you know, of the fractal, like holographic.
It's very Neoplatonic.
Anyway.
It's a good metaphor. It's a good metaphor. Yeah,
just mm-hmm. Straggling notes that I've
but had. It would make a good poem, Marco, just to throw it back in your lap there.
That's right. Well, you're assigned. You're assigned now. So we want a poem for like newsletter 4.
Need another thing to do. all right. I think we have, though, plenty to do for the next couple of weeks. We are meeting, I believe, next week then.
For the web stuff on Metasign.
Okay, so that would be a good time to check in and like see if our, you know, if our work is coagulating. I'm trying to kind of get through my backlog and I'm getting close. So I kind of have reading time and I have production time. We'll I guess talk again in a couple of weeks.
Friday, Mark.
Yeah, we're talking, but what time on Friday?
I think it was, I don't know, 6 my time, so that's 4 your time. I don't know, but it could be later too, you know.
Are you available earlier?
Oh, for 5:30? I could be available 5:30, yeah.
No, like, would you be available at 1?
No, I don't. Hang on.
What's the earliest you'd be available?
I have a meeting at 1 and I have a meeting at 2:30. So that's why it's sort of on Friday afternoon. So 4:30 is kind of the earliest.
How about 5 your time? Would that be comfortable?
5 my time. 5:30 my time. I can do not 5.
Okay.
5:30 my time is what? 6 is better. It was
6.
Four,
okay.
4 your time.
6, 4 and 6.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
There we go.
That's what I had to begin with, actually.
I was going to say, it's where you started, wasn't it?
I feel like we negotiated all the way down and all the way back up again.
Well, we've come back, and it's like knowing it for the first time.
Yeah.
It's a different kind of haggling. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Any other comments?
I wanted to say that the next book should be an anthology from metapsychosis, like a compilation of articles that are already written, already edited. Like there's too much material under that should be in a book form, I think. And there's a network effect if you publish a lot of books, like this one gives a little publicity to the other one, and you know, like it would be beneficial to everyone.
I think that's a good idea. I like anthologies.
Yeah, we talked about doing it. I guess we were looking at something maybe more towards summer or maybe even second half of the year. But yeah, that wouldn't be, that should definitely be on the list.
I agree. Cool. I totally want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. Awesome. Well, it's good to see everybody.
Yeah.
Same here.
And so we'll see you next week. Yeah, next week.
Yeah.
Same time. All right, everybody, stay safe. Take care.
Okay.
Thanks,
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.